So 1 John 3, verses 16 through 23, these are God's words. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So the verse that we're especially considering from that passage is verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So here is a great benefit of maintaining a right conscience from God's word. It says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. And so you remember the Apostle Paul saying that he knew nothing against himself and that he was not thereby acquitted. And this is even more frightening, because you might know something that you, some sin that you have committed or are in the midst of. God is greater than our heart and knows far more than we do. And yet, if before his word and examining whether we are loving God and man in deed and truth, our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And then he goes on to our passage, our verse for tonight. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. So one of the great benefits of maintaining a right conscience from God's word is the prayers that are formed in the mind of someone who has a clear conscience before God. These prayers will be answered in the affirmative. Whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. If we have learned that God is greater than our heart, and so we have committed to valuing what he sees and what matters to him more than what would otherwise be valued by our own hearts, then we are truly on the way to praying in Jesus' name, as it were. This would be a wonderful condition, and one that all believers should seek to be in, that we are reading and meditating upon God's holy law and sensitivity to his Holy Spirit, and yet able to do so with hearts that do not condemn us, because we are keeping the shortest accounts possible with God. So as soon as we sin, we immediately confess our sin and rejoice that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, as we heard in last week's portion, chapter 1 and verse 9. And then as we have these clear consciences before God and rejoice in his forgiveness, we love him because he first loved us, and we want to keep his commandments. And not just in word or tongue, but in deed and truth. And we know that this loving him and desire to keep his commandments is coming from Christ in us. And so as we lay hold of Christ in prayer, we do so not only for assurance of forgiveness, but also asking that we be made like him, that he receive that portion of what he has earned in his finished work that belongs to pressing us into his image, conforming us to his image, pressing us into his form. And as we lay hold of Christ in prayer for both of these things, our hearts are assured that the second part, our being cleansed from all unrighteousness and being made like Jesus, is just as certain to happen as the first part, that we would be forgiven all of our sins. For Christ has earned both of those things in the same life and obedience. Christ is the one who is worthy of both of those things for us by his worthiness. And so it is as impossible for us not to be conformed to him, not to have these prayers to be made like him answered, as it would be impossible for us to be unforgiven or for the Father to refuse the Son any of that which he has earned and of which he is worthy. So here is the goal of one who is praying prayers that are assured in the way of the first half of 1 John 3:22. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. Their goal is found in the second half, or part of their goal anyway. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. This is not a divine sleight of hand where the front half of the verse he makes us a promise and then the second half of the verse he takes it away by saying, ha ha ha, it only applies to what God has commanded, as if that is some lesser thing than what other else we could have asked for. No, actually, it's the opposite. It is only when he has shaped our hearts to desire the excellent and best things that we can be assured of what we ask. Praise God that we are not assured of receiving when we ask for things that are less than or not as good as what he would give us and what he has promised us. It's similar to the logic of Psalm 37, verses 4 through 6. Many of us, I think, have thought before on verse 4, delight yourself also in Yahweh, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Well, by the time he's giving you the desires of your heart, what are those desires? Psalm 37, verse 4. Him himself. But listen to verse 5 and verse 6. Commit your way to Yahweh, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So we take the path that he has commanded, and we trust in him, and he brings to pass our following in the path that he has commanded. Verse 6, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. So you hear there in Psalm 37, verses 4 through 6, how the one who delights himself in the Lord and commits his way to the Lord is pursuing what? He's pursuing righteousness. He's pursuing justice. And these are the desires of the heart of the one who delights himself in the Lord. Isn't that exactly the same thing as we have in 1 John 3, verse 22? Whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, is it possible that we would keep his commandments all the time except when we're praying? Or that we would do those things that are pleasing in his sight all the time except when we come to call upon his name? God forbid, in fact, calling upon his name and drawing near to him stirs us up to a more careful attention to keeping his commandments and doing what is pleasant in his sight. As the Lord told Aaron on that dreadful day in which he lost two of his sons, by those who come near me, I will be sanctified, or I must be sanctified, regarded as holy. The person in 1 John 3:22 who keeps his commandments and does those things that are pleasing in his sight, especially prays as God has commanded that we should pray, and especially seeks to pray in a way that we know from the Bible is pleasing to God. So, here especially in prayer, we lay hold of Christ not just for forgiveness, but also sanctification, assured of both his forgiveness and his love. We begin to ask him for those things that we know from his word are his pleasure. And indeed, we know that they are his plan. We see a little bit more of that plan at the beginning of the verse. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. Here we learn, as we seek to pray in the way that he commands and in the way that pleases him, that one of the things that pleases him is to come to him with assured hearts, knowing that he wants to carry out his holy will as a loving and fatherly response to the sounds of our voices and the cries of our hearts. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. God has willed to work in this world in response to what we ask him, what we'll be asking him tonight, what we'll be asking him on the Lord's Day immediately after we hear this verse, what we ask him laying upon our beds and in our secret times of prayer and gathered around our table or our family room or living room. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. So let us come to him and ask.